I told you this was going to be a birthday party, and indeed it is. I think this is the kind of joy and celebration that we ought to associate with Jesus Christ, with his church, where we come and together enjoy, have fun, because we know him. Christmas is almost upon us, and again, the story of our Lord's birth being proclaimed in a myriad of different ways. When we begin to think seriously about the birth, we find we're confronted with an ultimate question about life. What response have we made to Jesus Christ, the Son of God? That was really God's purpose in having this annual birthday party for his son, to ask people in every generation, every year, what have you done with Jesus Christ? This morning we're going to study three responses that people have made to Jesus through the centuries that you heard in the story we read in Scripture. The wise men who sought to worship him, Herod who sought to murder him, and then religious leaders who simply ignored him. It's fascinating, but we'll discover this year people will make similar responses to Jesus at Christmas time 1990 that they made in the first century. Some are here to worship. Some simply want to eliminate him from their celebration, secularizing this holy season into what now is popularly called a winter holiday. But most will simply ignore him, as if nothing happened, but they want to buy into the celebration that Christmas offers. Because the Bible affirms the incredible importance of making a personal response to the Christmas story, to Jesus Christ, I want us to study for a few moments the announcement of his birth. Now, first, wise men came seeking the Christ child in order to worship him. Tradition tells us that these men were astrologers from Persia, magi whose study of the stars had started them on an interesting journey to search for a king. And their hunger was satisfied that night, maybe by surprise. That night in Bethlehem when they found the Christ child and worshiped. And in those days it was forbidden to worship anyone or anything but God. So by their act they were confessing their search had ended and they had found God in the flesh. How fascinating to note what unlikely guests these men were at our Lord's birthday party. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles. They followed a different religion, and they even worshiped foreign deities. They were unaware of the living God. And perhaps as far as the Jew of the time was concerned, they were astrologers who claimed to see a star announcing the coming of a king. Jews did not like astrologers because they worshipped the creation rather than the creator. Therefore, they were known as idolaters. These wise men came to Bethlehem driven by a spiritual hunger for greater truth about God and about life. They were searching for food for their souls that they had not yet found in their religion of choice or in the study of the stars, or in anything else that they had done on their spiritual journey. They were still hungry. Now, as Christians, we affirm and believe Jesus Christ alone offers ultimate truth about God, that Jesus Christ provides a way for unlikely, unworthy people to find a relationship with this holy God by offering these amazing gifts of the forgiveness of sins, spiritual restoration, and eternal life. Now, like the wise men, many honest seekers come to church at Christmas time, searching for truth we've not been able to find elsewhere, and we come with a high sense of expectancy. And you know, today, maybe you feel a little uncomfortable and even foreign, as did the wise men, because you don't know for sure whether you belong at our Lord's birthday party. You know, personally, I love it when people pack into church searching around Christmas time. It's easy for me to say I'm not sitting on the floor, but I really like it. It feels good to be crowded in here. And most of us are unlikely guests. And happily, the wise men assure us God welcomes us no matter where we are in our spiritual quest, where we're coming from, what we've done. The only requirement for coming is that we want to be here. I think that's exciting. For those of you who are guests, you might be interested to know that many in our church family came from other religions and certainly other lifestyles, in which, at the time, we thought we knew God. One day a friend or an unusual happening or an unmet hunger in our souls or maybe a crisis brought us to this church family. And we discovered for the first time what it meant to know God by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. And that was all brand new. And it was so good, we've never left. That discovery, that leap of faith from need to Jesus changed our lives. Again, as in the case of the wise men, we welcome seekers who are full of questions and perhaps who don't understand our format here, don't know our songs. But in spite of that, we invite you to at least consider the basic question we focus on today. Who is Jesus Christ and what response have I made to him? We affirm the truth of Christmas. Jesus is God in the flesh who came to save us from our sins. If Jesus is who he claims to be, then reaching out to him, trusting him as Savior, would prove to be the most significant decision we make in this lifetime because it has present and future, even eternal implications. Herod represents a second possible response to Jesus. In 47 BC, he became a king and received the title Herod the Great. History tells us he was half Jewish. He helped rebuild the Temple of Jerusalem, but he was a really evil man. He was a rascal. He murdered his wife, his mother, his oldest son, and two other sons. It was said by a historian it was safer to be Herod's pig than his son. You were safer. He was married 9 times to fulfill his lusts, and then near his death, he went out with a crescendo. He had citizens arrested, giving orders to have them killed the moment of his death so someone would cry and mourn for him when he died. Happily, his orders were never carried out. Being paranoid about his power, he called together wise men to learn where this king was to be born. Obviously, his plan was not to worship, but to murder the child. Thinking together, Herod and wise men had certain things in common. Both were living without a personal relationship with God. Both had great spiritual need. And both had received invitations to our Lord's birthday party. However, wise men sought and found Jesus to worship him. Herod refused the invitation. So intoxicated with his power, addicted to his lusts and to things of this world, Herod sought only to destroy this challenger to his earthly power, this disruptor of the status quo in his lifestyle. He didn't want to be bothered. Herod was like so many today. He desired no authority over his life but himself. And he was unwilling to submit to any laws except those of his own making. Herod was obviously no candidate to become a worshiper of Jesus. Studying this man becomes even more sobering. Here is a fact. There can really be only one king on the throne of any life of any human being, one authority, Jesus or ourselves. That's really what Christmas boils down to. We will never know spiritual peace until we submit to God's authority by trusting the Savior, his Son, who he sent to save us. Like Herod, many will go to great effort to avoid Jesus, knowing if he is who he claims to be, the Son of God, then our philosophy of life is wrong. He has a claim upon us that we don't want to give to him. But you know, through the years I've noticed this, especially at Christmas time. Maybe because of a crisis, maybe because of an unusual burden, maybe just because you're hungry in the soul, you've arrived here in church. And you didn't expect it, but you got surprised. We weren't a bunch of just holier-than-thous. We were people like you. And then in the service, you started hearing a voice inside your soul, inviting you to consider giving up the driver's seat in your life, reordering your life's direction, submitting yourself to God's authority, and suddenly it makes sense that might be a better alternative than the lifestyle you're chasing right now. Those who are truly honest seekers, those who are wise, respond to this inner voice, as many have done through the centuries. And we allow Jesus to introduce us to what a full relationship with the living God who loves us can really mean to us. People who've had this experience say it's like, once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was dead, but now I'm alive. Once I was in bondage, and now I'm free. In fact, some even describe it like getting born again because it's so new. It's like starting life all over again. We thought we were alive until we met Jesus, and then we discovered what real living was all about. Going further into Herod's life, we find another frightening truth. Those who begin hating the Christ child usually will end up by hurting themselves and other people. Herod slaughtered the innocents in Bethlehem, a slaughter that involved at least 20 or 30 babies based upon the size of the population of that town. It's tragic when God's authority over human behavior is rejected. People become inhumane and violent and heartless. And that's being witnessed in our society today that is willfully saying, God, we don't want you ruling over us, so we're creating our own laws, and we are paying the consequence in every newscast. You see, the tragedy is that Herod isn't dead. There's some of him still alive in us. And it's witnessed in not only the senseless crimes in society, it's witnessed by the tragic breakdown of families, the friendships that dissolve, children being hurt by the rampant breakdown of human relationships. And so many things collapse today because, like Herod, we don't want any authority over our life. We don't believe in commitments. We want pleasure. We're writing our own laws, and it doesn't matter who suffers as long as we stay in power to control our own life. We're willing to sacrifice children, and yet we are stunned by the fact that Herod slayed the innocents. Happily, you might be here today stunned by evil that you've done, hurt by the trouble you've caused. I know I feel that way every single time I climb into this pulpit. But happily, we can do something Herod chose not to do. We can reach out and receive the gift Jesus sent us, Jesus Christ. We can repent of our sin, which simply means turn around, admit we're going the wrong direction, change direction, ask Jesus to forgive us and wash away the things we don't even want to think about anymore, and submit to his authority and start walking the right way. That's basically the Christian Christmas message. Human nature is still a battleground between two kings. And I would submit that maybe that battle's going on inside of you right now in this place. Herod or Christ? Asking the question, who's going to rule in my life, God or me? If it's working out for you to be your own boss, we really don't have much to offer. If you're disillusioned with that lifestyle, I urge you, check out Jesus. Our choice has tremendous consequences for good or evil, for the present, and for the eternal future. Jewish religious leaders were a third group invited to our Lord's birthday party. I think they're the ones I almost pity most, because like myself, they were representing God, and they had the scriptures. In fact, knowing the scriptures, they were able to tell Herod exactly where their Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. Within the Old Testament, those religious men possessed countless prophecies that could have verified whether Jesus was their Messiah or not. However, they were tragically indifferent to the event, probably very comfortable in a dead religion that kept them sort of like fat cats in that day. They were so indifferent they wouldn't travel 5 miles to Bethlehem to check out whether or not their Messiah might have arrived. They wouldn't even consider the possibility Jesus might be the Son of God. Christmas, again, extends that precious opportunity to you who might be seekers today. An opportunity to discover the fact that God really loves you, and he really loves you so much that he really sent Jesus, his Son, into the world, and that Jesus really is who he claims to be, the Son of God, as millions through 2,000 years of following him would affirm. And you know, like the religious leaders of old, I don't want you to miss the party. Don't let indifference and bondage to a dead, comfortable religion or worshiping a God conforming to your own specifications keep you out of the party. This Christmas, do yourself a favor. At least honestly check out the things the Christian church is affirming about Jesus Christ. Or be honest and admit to yourself, I like my safe but dead religion because I don't want to be disturbed. At least you'll know where you are. The Bible says Jesus came to his own home and his own people received him not. But to as many as did receive him, he gave the privilege of becoming children of God. That's who we Christians are. Well, happily, seekers this morning, you've done more than the religious leaders of old. At least you've taken the journey from your house to here. Now, I don't know how many miles it was, and I don't know what got you here, but I believe God used the motivation to get you in that pew. Now, I don't want to be too magical about it, but I believe God loves you personally, and he really does have a plan for your life, and he really wanted you to hear something this morning to help you understand his Christmas gift. No, Jesus welcomes you. No, he invites you to consider the claims that he is God, and that if you want him to, he can heal you at the place where you hurt most, he can forgive your sins, and he can extend to you the most precious gift in the world that gets more precious as we get older, and that's the gift of eternal life with a holy God. I need to warn you, reaching out to Jesus, taking seriously his authority over your life, can prove embarrassing in social circles. Maybe you've been the classic one to be able to knock the church, and boy, I can knock it. We've really fouled up often in this society. Televangelists, searching for people's money, hypocrisy. You don't have to go far to be able to get a good checklist of why you shouldn't be part of the church. And maybe you've been real good at parties knocking us, and I'm pretty good at parties doing that too, because I know our weaknesses. But the one thing you can't negate is Jesus. He's never failed us. We've failed him. And it might be embarrassing for you to eat crow and have to go back and say, you know, folks, I'm kind of different. I went there to mock and I left praying. Maybe the church is still weak, but Jesus isn't. And I took the leap. I'm going to trust that he's the Son of God because I have nowhere else to turn. The religious leaders chose not to be embarrassed. I need to tell you, for us who have taken the leap of faith and follow Jesus, he's the most priceless treasure we have. And the treasure of him feeding our souls is more than worth the price of any embarrassment we might pay in a society that tends to ridicule what they don't understand. Well, today, we've reviewed three responses people make to Christmas. Maybe you found yourself in one of them. Worship, hostility, indifference. Our purpose in this special hour was to give everyone a fresh exposure to the truth of Christmas, that God loves you so much he sent Jesus so that if you would believe in him, you would never perish but have everlasting life. That's the insight that I hope you would find today, and it would lead you with the wise men and those through the centuries to fall down and worship our Lord in this hour and let him change your life. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we're grateful for the power of the Christmas story. My prayer is that many of us have heard it many times. But today, would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see it as if it were the first time we ever heard it. And may we hear it as if it was written telling us God loves us individually as if he had no one else to love. And may we receive his gift called Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.